What is it, the top thing that you worry about when it comes to the environment? Juzana Rani on Facebook says, yes, I do worry a lot about the environment. I feel in today's so-called too advanced and health-conscious society, we waste a lot of food, water and air, everything most crucial for life on Earth. He also goes on to say that as a Muslim, I would just say that people who are more wasteful and extravagant in their spending are really frowned upon in the Muslim faith. There is a ayah about this in the Quran as well. Thanks for that, Juzar. And he's gone on to list ways to help to save the planet, save the environment. I'm going to come back to those in a short while, but a great, great message there on Facebook. So let's go over to you, Dylan. What's on the top of your list? What worries you about the environment today?
I'm without trying to be too broad, and it is quite a broad statement, but for me it's just about legacy, really. It's about the fact that I really get concerned about thinking about my great-grandchildren, etc., looking back going, why didn't they do more? And I think when you start thinking about that, it becomes a really big issue for you, and actually you just need to downscale it a bit and say, well, as long as you're doing something, you know, as long as everybody's doing something, that will actually slow down the whole process. Because I do believe, I do have a faith in human nature, and the fact that there will be more technologies that come out. There will be some groundbreaking achievements. It's the same if you look at like with the car engine, you know, with the fuel injection, etc. That reduced the amount of fuel that was needed for cars in itself. I think we're going to see some big groundbreaking improvements from technology that will assist, but it needs to start from the top and from the bottom.
You just need to do your bit.
Exactly, exactly.
So when you're saying that the legacy and you know, thinking about the generations to come and the damage we've done today and how they're going to pay for it, do you think about that with the past? You look back and think, where did this, what, you know, could we have done better earlier? Could our parents or our grandparents, the governments, whoever, when did it all start? When did we become so conscious of the environment? When did it all seem to be an issue that we needed to be concerned about?
Yeah, that's a very good point. And you look at a lot of conferences and meetings that have gone on over the last couple of years, and they've been surprisingly unsuccessful. There's been lots of Kyoto protocols and various other protocols where, you know, every country in the world gets together to discuss. For instance, last year in Doha, they got together to discuss the fisheries and how they're being massively depleted, you know, down by 85% in the last 30 years. But very rarely they're coming up with solid conclusions or solid actions. So the awareness is certainly getting out there. You know, the top people, the prime minister's presence, are aware of what's happening. But there's a lack of cohesion between the countries and decision making, and a real lack of action.
Well, it's interesting you're talking about the fisheries there, because there's just recently they were trying to actually grow the, I think it's a mackerel stocks in the North Sea, and there's been a loophole in the law, and you've now got certain Scandinavian North European countries are actually wading in with mass fish, industrial fish ships, they call them, which can churn around the fish that they're farming at an accelerated rate. And it's a real, real danger now. And it's all about trade for me. That's all about, you know, there's a lack of equality with regards to certain countries are getting better deals out of certain things, etc. And so everyone's just repositioning themselves and trying to find a different way they can actually increase their own GDP, for example.
It's happening in a large scale off the west coast of Africa as well. We have very controlled fisheries in Europe, in the Mediterranean, around the UK and France. So all those fishermen are just now heading down to the west coast of Africa, where there's not no such control, there's no navies to police the grounds, and they're just fishing there instead and massively depleting the stocks. And whole villages have had to move from the coast along massive stretches of the west coast of Africa because there's no fish left.
And so then what then happens is that then creates a sense of, you know, resentment with the West African countries, who are then look for their angle and the way in which that they can get back, you know, support their own people, etc. That's fascinating.
Yeah, you really need to look, you need to assess anything you do. You need to see how it's going to impact other people. you know, you could come up with a great idea that, right, okay, we're going to stop this happening because, I don't know, some species is becoming extinct. But you need to look at the impact on the neighbouring people, the country. It's not just about making the one decision. That is why it's so hard to come to these global decisions at these various meetings. But, you know, they need to work on that, really. Someone needs to put their foot down and say, okay, you might be impacted slightly, but we need to get something done here. Otherwise, we're going to be massively impacted by this. I mean, and the fisheries is a prime example where there's just no conclusion that have been made, and we're looking at tuna stocks are reducing so hugely, and there's just no decision been made whatsoever, and they keep meeting and meeting and nothing happens.
And it
happens.
Goes on. So for us then on the street, what can we do with regards to overfishing? Is there anything that we can do on a day-to-day basis? Is it looking at the choice of fish that we buy?
The choice and where it comes from.
Yeah.
I mean, there are certain areas where there are plenty of fish stocks, the type of fish especially is, you know, in plentiful supply, and it's just looking at that, see where it comes from.
And there was a big outcry with regards to the way that tuna was being farmed previously, which was actually really impacting dolphins, etc. So we went through the process of having dolphin-friendly tuna, and so now I think isn't there some sort of like kite mark or something about it being a socially responsible?
Yeah, there generally is. For almost every product you can buy now, there is, this is another thing that needs to be standardised, because there's so many different marks on the foods that we buy that, you know, it really needs to be brought together, say maybe all the foods brought together and given one mark, and all other materials given one mark. They are out there, and yeah, just have a look at your labels and see what they say. I mean, fish farming is a way forward, but then fish farming can also have a massive impact on its local environment, and that needs to be done in a proper way. And you have global organisations like ISO who tend to go around and look at the way things are done and make sure they're done properly, and then they give them their stamp. And that's really what you need to look for on the back of these products, to make sure they're being done in a sustainable and eco-friendly manner.
Yeah, what can we do here? The man on the street, the woman on the street, the kids on the street as well. It seems in so many places that children are much more aware and concerned about the environment than perhaps their parents. What is it that concerns you about the environment today?